Well, good morning, everyone, wherever you are today. We're in beautiful Toronto area. Beautiful area, not so beautiful when it comes to crime and killings and shootings. We had 22 last week. 22 shootings. Unheard of. But then we have to recognize and remember, whose world is this anyway? Well, we know the answer. Well, great to be with you on the Sabbath. We want to get started here. And brethren, you know, you're all aware of the fact that false doctrines come along in every generation in the church, and oftentimes, many times within each generation. And it comes along, they're different ones at different times. And of course, they upset people, and they create confusion, and it causes disunity, and it creates division. And what are those words? I mean, who loves those words? Satan, the enemy. That's why he does it, stirs things up. Stirs people up, stirs up false ministers. And you wonder, why do they do this stuff? Why do they bother? Well, for those very reasons I just mentioned. And keep in mind and remember, there is no new truth. Okay? The truth was established in the church by Jesus Christ through Mr. Armstrong and no one else. And we know that path. We know how that works. You may have a renewed understanding of a certain scripture, a certain point that comes along. You didn't see it before. Ah, now I see what it means. But it's not new truth. The truth in question is not new. And the thing is that we, those of us in the church that understand, we can avoid letting issues of division and whatnot bother us. When these things come along, we just have to remember, stay anchored. Stay anchored to the truth God gave us through Mr. Armstrong. I've told people 100 times, you step off the foundation and you're in trouble. And I've seen it happen to friends of ours numerous times. They don't see it. They lose sight of it. And it happens. There is one such division or distortion of the truth, if you will, that has made the rounds in the church or is making the rounds. And up to this point, I know it has split up two different groups already. Completely torn up in half. And there's no reason for it to happen when you analyze the facts here. And there are other people who are buying into the explanations without realizing it. Just saying, I never thought of that. I didn't. Is that what it says? You know, this kind of thing. And here's the problem. A few church leaders are saying and teaching that God the Father was the God of the Old Testament. It was not the one that became Jesus Christ. Let me just repeat that. Some are teaching that God the Father was the God of the Old Testament. It was not the one that became Jesus Christ. Well, what's the answer? I was sent a file containing 7 sermons that were supposed to prove the point. I never went through them all. I had a look at one, excuse me, just to see. And you know, brethren, they all give support to that famous word called Babblegab. And that's exactly what it is. And to confuse and distort and deceive. What I want to do this morning is to dig into this topic a little bit and drill down on it and expose the false doctrine and let the scriptures show us where they're wrong. They claim they have the scriptures to show it's true. I say we have the scriptures to show it's wrong. It's a matter of how we look at the scriptures and who do we believe, Jesus Christ and God the Father or some minister. Well, we have to be careful. One fellow I know well said to me in talking about this topic, he bought into it, and he said, well, it's in the scriptures. It must be true. I said, no. He was allowing deception to take hold without really checking it out in detail, without talking to anybody else, getting a perspective, look it up for himself, put the scriptures together. You'll see what I mean as we proceed here. But what deception, when it occurs, usually comes in 3 different forms. Not always, but I think when you think about it, there are 3 things that come under attack when people are going after the truth of God. One is they attack the Passover. 2, they attack the Sabbath, try to show where it's not necessary, or we have the wrong hours in which we keep it, and so forth. And the other one is the nature of God. That one takes quite a beating over the years. And it's all done attempting to deceive and to confuse the unsuspecting with their version of new truth. That's what they call it. Well, it's not, as we've discussed. Let's notice and start off here in Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. In other words, you shall have no other gods before the God of the Old Testament. That's what he's saying. Now, 1 Corinthians, chapter 10 and verse 4 is very easy to understand for us. But let's read 2 or 3 verses here and let's find out if it's true. 1 Corinthians 10, let's begin in verse 1. And he says, moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that our forefathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all did eat of the same spiritual meat, verse 4, and did drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. What could be plainer? What could be plainer? Yeah, the rock was Christ, not the Father. How can you misunderstand that? Here's the point that some people miss, and in this particular case, many of them have missed it. You cannot have the Father without the Son, and you can't have the Son without the Father. You have to have both. Now, can I verify that? Does that make sense to you and to me? Yeah, we can check it out. Let's do that. Let's turn to John chapter 14 and look at verse 23. John 14 and verse 23. We're going to look at a lot of scriptures here today, brethren, as we go through this. Hopefully make some sense out of it for you. Jesus answered and said unto him, Matthew 14, 23. He said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him, and we will make our abode with him. Notice that? We will come to him. We? That's more than one. And we, more than one, will make our abode with him. Funny how they miss that. They forget about it. We know how true that is. John chapter 1, verse 1, a scripture that Mr. Armstrong went to and often went to, and we all do from all occasion. Very interesting, brings home a new truth, the proper truth, I should say. John chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning. When was the beginning? Well, the beginning was before there was anything, obviously. And the Word was with God. Now, how many does that make, then? How many do we count here? There's God and there's the Word. How many is that? Two. And the Word was God. You don't need a calculator or a computer to figure that out. You see how simple it really is when you decipher the scriptures and you put them together and you dig into it a little bit? The two were God. You're either God or you're not. You're either God or you're not. There are no in-between steps. There is no such thing as an evolution to become God. Yes, I'm taking a course on how to become God. I'm going to take another class tonight. No, of course not. Of course not. John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Verse 2. And the same was in the beginning with God. That's talking about the Word. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. clear enough to me. For those who think Jesus did not exist until he was conceived in the womb of Mary, they've got a problem. And there are people who believe that when you think about this particular topic and how they put it, how they try to twist the scriptures around. People who believe that reject Philippians chapter 2. They reject Philippians chapter 2 completely. They have to. Otherwise, they wouldn't make these crazy statements. Because, as you know, it says there he gave up his divinity and his glory to become a man. Now, let's read a few verses, and let's see if this is true or not. Philippians 2, and beginning in verse 5. He says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Jesus Christ, who, being found in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made unto himself of no reputation, but took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto the cross, even the death of the cross, moving from glory to a human form." Talk about humbling oneself. That's what he did. He did it for us. Colossians chapter 1, verse 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 1. Actually, it's verse... Yes, it is verse 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 1. "Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." In verse 14, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." I might hesitate the odd time, brethren, and I do only because I'm not, my vision, you know, sometimes just deceives my eyes. I don't see properly looking sometimes at the scriptures. Verse 15, "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature." The false ministers tell us this has that tell us there Jesus was the firstborn. Okay? They take that scripture in Colossians to say, well, Jesus was the firstborn. And that's where they stop reading. But they fail to add to the point that he was born as a human being after giving up his divinity to become flesh. See how they can confuse people? One or two words here or there, misrepresenting it. That's what they do. All right, let's look at verse 15. Colossians chapter 1 here. Or verse 16, sorry. Verse 16. "If he is the firstborn of all creation..." Well, did he create himself? There's a question for you. Let's get them to answer that one. Of course not. All things were created by him and for him, and he is the head of the body, the church. He was the beginning of the firstborn from the dead. That's how it works. Verse 16, it says, "For him all things were created that are in heaven and earth, that are visible, invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things exist. And he's the head of the body," and so on, as we just mentioned, the church. "And he was the," verse 18, "and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that all things, that above all, that in all things he might have the preeminence." There we go. I'll get it right finally. At least the scriptures don't stumble, only those who read them. All right, let's go first to John chapter 1, verse 14. Let's notice this. Let's notice this. John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten, full of faith and grace and truth. Who was writing this is the first question I want to ask these people, because we know who it was. It was John. Who were the ones that were with him on the mountain when Christ had the transfiguration? There was three people went with him, three men. Peter, James, and John. So when they say we beheld his glory, they did. They did just that on the mountain. Remember when Jesus healed the man who had been afflicted for many years? I think it was something like 36 or 38 years. And he said to him when he came back, pick up your bed and walk. And the Jews were happy. No, they were mad. They plotted to kill Christ because he did something on the Sabbath day. He healed on the Sabbath day. Not supposed to do that. John chapter 5 and verse 16. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. How dare he do a wonderful thing like that on the Sabbath? What an attitude. Wow. They really hit you when you go over these things again sometimes. Verse 17. But Jesus answered them, my Father works hitherto, and I do work. He said, my Father is working now. What does the Father do on the Sabbath day, brethren? Well, he only keeps the universe running, that's all. He doesn't stop because of the Sabbath day. And Christ was doing the spiritual work, his spiritual work on the Sabbath day by healing. What a wonderful thing to do. What a wonderful Savior we have. And how compassionate he was and how concerned he was. And he showed that example over and over and over. Verse 18. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he was not only had broken the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Jesus called God his Father, making himself equal with God, which is what upset the Jews. If the Father is God and the Son is God, he made himself equal. It's quite simple when you look at it. Verse 19. So Jesus answered them and said, I tell you the solemn truth, that the Son can do nothing on his own initiative. He does nothing on his own without checking with the Father. But he only does what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise. He was always in step with the Father. He always directed people toward the Father. Who does he tell us to pray to? Pray to the Father. Who did he always acquiesce to? The Father. The Father sent me, the Father said this, and I'm the spokesman. Wonderful. He wasn't doing it on his own. Ask this question. Was the Word with God before the creation of the world? Was the Word with God before the creation of the world? Yes, of course he was. They were together, and they were in complete agreement on everything. And when the one who became Jesus Christ became the Lord of the Old Testament, he did the same thing. He did not do anything that the Father didn't want done. So this applies to Christ and the Father from the beginning, not just when they created man. How can anyone not really understand a very simple scripture which you know off by heart? You don't even have to turn to it. I'll just reference it. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. What does it say? It says, let us make man in our image. Let us. This is right back at the beginning. Let us make man in our image. We're not trying to jump forward and miss a lot of verses and chapters and jump into a thought. We'll go right back to the beginning. That's what you have to do in these areas. Right to the beginning. So here it is. How do they justify not understanding that? They don't read it. They don't quote it. No, that would be simple. That'd be too easy. But let us make man in our image. John chapter 5. and beginning in verse 19. For the Father loves the Son and shows him everything. Everything he does and will show him, and he will show him greater deeds than these, so that you will be amazed. Verse 21. For just as the Father raises the dead, raises the dead and gives him life, so also the Son gives life to whomever he wishes. Verse 22. Furthermore, the Father does not judge anyone, but has assigned all judgment to the Son. Now, let me ask you this. Why does the Father judge no one? Why? Because only the Son experienced human existence in order to understand humans and to be tempted. That's why he understands us. That's why he is an intercessor for us, as it says in Hebrews. He knows. He can say, Father, I know what it means to think that way. I know what it means to experience such and such. I know what it means to have to get rid of potential sin, and because he was tempted as we are. So that's a wonderful way in which it was set up. And that's the wisdom of God. And the wisdom and the wonderful approach that Jesus Christ had to his job and what he's doing. Here's another scripture that leaves you wondering, where are these fellows coming from? Don't they know the scriptures? If you're going to talk about a topic like they did, John chapter 6 and verse 46. He says, not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. He's talking here about Jesus Christ. Or the Word, going back to John 1:1. The deceivers leave that scripture out. I never saw it. And many others like it. Don't even refer to it. They prefer to twist and turn in certain areas to throw people off the scent, if you will. Matthew chapter 11, verse 25. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and revealed them to little children. We know how significant that scripture is, because they've been revealed to you and to me. And we are nothing. We're not the wise and intelligent of the world. No, not at all. We know that when we have contact with other people. This is not our world. I don't want to be wise and intelligent the way the world is. Verse 26, yes, Father, for this was your gracious will. It was God's plan. You know, the men who corrupt the scriptures and those who authored this particular account in their papers about God the Father being the God of the Old Testament, they consider themselves to be intellectuals. How wonderful. Well, let me ask you something. Did Christ's disciples go to university? Did Jesus Christ get his doctorate before he came down to earth? Become a frail human being? No, I guess not. And how many of today's so-called, I'll refer to them as so-called intellectuals, are really honest with the truth of God? You can probably come up with a good answer to that question before I do. Matthew 11 here in verse 27. Let's read that. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. Again, he refers back to the Father. He gave it to me. He tells me what to do. He tells me what to say. He tells me where to go. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son decides to reveal him. And it's been revealed to us, hasn't it? We understand that. Let's put a few of these scriptures together here and let's see. You know, no one has seen the Father, and Christ had to reveal him. That's why he came. And then, if that's the case, then how can anyone say the God of the Old Testament was the Father. Why drag out this false teaching now? What's the matter with these men? Remember, I said that the nature of God is one of the areas, false areas, or areas of false ministers, I should say. They go after this stuff, try to baffle people into believing it. And it destroys churches. It destroys people's lives. They don't understand. They get deceived. They get upset. They get concerned. So they should. Satan is clever. And he's the master deceiver. Did Moses go up on the mountain to talk with God? Yes. It was said that Moses talked to him face to face like a man. Therefore, the God of the Old Testament has to be exactly the one the New Testament says it is. And he is the one who became Jesus Christ. It could not be any other way. It could not. What about when he spoke the Ten Commandments? No one has heard the Father speak. Jesus said that. Jesus said no one has heard him talk. No one has heard his voice. No one has seen him. And no one knows him except the one whom Jesus reveals. And as I say, he's revealed it to us. Christ came to reveal the Father. People don't seem to understand that sometimes, because he was not known before that. He was not known before that. Genesis chapter 17, in verse 1. Genesis 17 and verse 1. In the false doctrinal paper, it says that no one has known or no one knows God the Father. You know, here's the problem with the things that they say. In Genesis 17, verse 1, it says that when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am the sovereign God. Walk before me and be blameless." What they say is that this has to be God the Father. Really. Here's the thing. You can't take the scriptures in isolation and say that here's the final word. Now, you can't do that. You have to put all the pieces together. Remember, Mr. Armstrong taught that from the very beginning. You have to get all the scriptures together. Then you can have some understanding, and not before. That's just the way it works. Let's notice Revelation chapter 1 and verse 18, or verse 8, actually, sorry. Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. Let's look at another thing here to bring it together. Revelation 1, verse 8. He says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who was, who is, and is still to come, all-powerful." That's our God, all-powerful. Was Jesus almighty? Is he God? Is he almighty God? Jesus is all those things. And the Father is called the Almighty, yes. And here's the reason why, because the two are Elohim. The word God in Hebrew is Elohim, which is plural. How come they can't see that? These learned intellectuals. How come they can't see these simple scriptures? Well, they'll find out someday where they've been off the track. Genesis 17 and verse 1 and 2. Let me just read this for you. The God, where are we here? When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am the sovereign God. Walk before me and be blameless. Verse 2. Then I will confirm my covenant between me and you, and I will give you a multitude of descendants. God changed his name from Abram to Abraham because he would become the father of many nations, as we know. And we are Abraham's children, spiritually speaking. Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3 and verse 13 to begin with. Acts chapter 3, verse 13. it says, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our forefathers, has glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over to be rejected in the presence of Pilate after he had decided to release him. And you know that story. We know it well. We rehearse that every year at the Passover. But you rejected the Holy and Righteous One and asked that a man who was a murderer be revealed to you. You killed the originator of life, the one whom God raised from the dead. To this fact, we are witnesses. We saw it. We saw what you did. And on the basis of faith in Jesus' name, this very man has made this man whom you see. Wait a second here. On the basis of faith in Jesus' name, his very name has made this man whom you see and know strong again. Talking about the man who was sick for so many years. A limb, I think it was, that was shrinking or whatever you want to call it. The faith that is through Jesus was given him for his complete health in the presence of you all. And they saw it. They know it's true. They couldn't deny it. Nobody could. What a tremendous thing he did to reveal that, his power in the presence of everyone, and give the glory to Almighty God. And now, brothers, I know you acted in ignorance, as your rulers did. But the things God has foretold long ago in the prophets, that as Christ would suffer, has been fulfilled in this way. That must have shaken a few of them up, if it did. Verse 19, therefore repent and turn back so that your sins may be wiped out, so the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and so that he may send the Messiah appointed for you, that is Jesus. Verse 21. This one heaven must receive until the time of all things are restored, which God declared from times long ago through his holy prophets. Verse 22. Moses said, the Lord your God will raise up a prophet like me from among your brothers. You must obey him in everything that he tells you to do. Every person who does not obey that prophet will be destroyed, and all the and be removed from his people. Verse 24. And all the prophets, from Daniel and those who followed him, have spoken about and announced these days. Verse 25. You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your ancestors, saying to Abraham, and in your descendants, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Well, we know that's happened as a result of Abraham's faith and confidence and love toward God. Verse 26, God raised up his servant and sent him first to you to bless you by turning each one of you away from your iniquities. Quite a story, isn't it? Verse 26 here is what the false ministers say when looking at Christ and looking at him as being the God of the Old Testament. Let me just read that again for you. That's the one verse that they zero in on. So I can just turn the page back. Yes, here they say that God then raised up his servant and sent him first to you. They say, because God raised up Jesus, his servant, therefore the God of the Old Testament has to be the Father. See how they got that twisted? No, it does not. It does not have to be. It did not say that the Most High appeared to Abraham it is said the Lord God of the Old Testament appeared to Abraham. Now, 1 John chapter 4, let's look at something here. 1 John 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse 12. No one has seen God at any time. But there's another scripture you can add to that list that they don't use. If we love one another, God resides in us, and his love is perfected in us. It says there in verse 12, no one has seen God at any time. All right, you can't have it both ways, can you? They want to have it both ways. You can't have it both ways. It either makes sense and it's true, or it doesn't make sense and it's false. And we have to discern with God's help and his spirit and by studying his word. All right, Psalm chapter 78. You can turn there with me. Psalm chapter 78. I'm going to look at verses 12 to 17. Chapter 12, Psalm 78. He did amazing things in the sight of their ancestors in the land of Egypt, in the region of Zoar. He divided the sea and led them across, made them stand and made the waters stand in a heap. We study that at the Passover as well. He led them as a cloud by day, with the light of the fire all night long. And there he was, and that was his presence there. He broke open the rocks in the wilderness and gave them water, water enough to fill from the depths of the seas. He caused streams to flow from the rock and made the water flow like rivers. Psalm 78 and verse 17. Yet they continued to sin against him and rebelled against the Sovereign One in the desert. You know, brethren, if you sin against God, you're in rebellion, against the Most High, aren't you? But does that mean that the Most High was the one who was leading the children of Israel through the wilderness? No. No, it does not. They followed the rock, and the rock was Christ. We just read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Psalm chapter 78 and verse 18. They willingly challenge God by asking for food to satisfy their appetite. You know this story as well. Verse 19. They insulted God. This is the New English Version. They insulted God, saying, is God really able to give us food in the wilderness? Can he really do that? Did we really see the sea open and we walked through? Were we chased by the Egyptian army, but we got away? And they look back at all the things that God did, and they're astounding. Yeah, he struck a rock, and water flowed out, and streams gushed forth. But can he also give us food? Can he give us food with meat for his people? Verse 27. He then rained down meat on them like dust. Birds as numerous as the sea, numerous as the sand on the seashores. Verse 35. They remembered that God was their protector, and that the Sovereign God was their deliverer. Finally, they kind of got home to them. You know, teachers of false doctrine say, this proves that the God of the Old Testament was the one who became the Father. That's what they say. Here's a question. Is Jesus going to redeem anyone the Father does not want? God does not want approved or redeemed? No. Would he go against his Father? No. Would the Lord God of the Old Testament, who became Jesus Christ, do something that the Most High did not want done? No. We know that. He always checked with the Father. I do what the Father tells me. I do what the Father told me. When you pray, pray to the Father, and so on. Perfect. He set an example of perfect obedience through what he suffered, through what he went through. Oh, they got it all wrong, confusing them and trying to make things look to be what they're not. That's Satan's way, of course, isn't it? John 6:44. No one can come to me unless the Father draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets that they will be taught by God. Everyone who hears and learns from the Father comes to me. Verse 46. Not that anyone has seen the Father, except the one who is from God, and he has seen the Father. Because referring to the fact that only Jesus Christ has seen the Father and the Word, and it mentions in many scriptures we looked at that no one has seen the Father before, no one's heard his voice, and no one knows anything about it. And they say that makes it clear. For us, it makes it very clear. But what this shows is John chapter 14, verse 6. What this shows is John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus replied, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He did not reveal himself. He did not lead the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. They did not hear his voice on the mount when the Ten Commandments were given. He did not speak to Moses directly. No, that was the God of the Old Testament, which was the one who was the Word, and the one who became Jesus Christ. They are working together, is the point here, brethren. They always have, as we've looked at some of those scriptures. John 14, verse 23. Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my word, and the Father will love him, and we will come to him and take up residence with him. Or in some translations, you can read, it says, we will abide with him. Same thing. We will come to him. We will be with him. We will abide with him, or with you, as God and the Father and Jesus Christ abide with us right now, because we have his Spirit, because we're obedient. And because we love them both and we love the truth. Jesus came to reveal the Father. And it all comes from the Father. They work together. They work together from the very beginning. We read that back in Genesis 1. Let us make man in our image. You know, brethren, in order to bring about a false doctrine, you have to make some changes. And along with those changes, is to change the meaning of scriptures and make you think it says something that it doesn't really say or it doesn't really mean. It's a matter of how they present it. It's like that one fellow said to me, well, if it's in the scriptures, it must be true. Well, they were reading, nothing wrong with the scripture. It was their interpretation and what they brought to it, what they didn't say, how they didn't put it all together. The Most High, as mentioned in the Old Testament, was also, of course, was known as the Father. The Father was the Most High, but he was never revealed. False ministers say this doesn't mean that a man would see him, but that the Most High, or the Father, would at least talk to them, as they claim he did. But we know that he never spoke to anybody. We made that quite clear with those scriptures that we reviewed. And there are things in the Bible that are hard to understand. Some areas are basically overviews with not a lot of specific details. You know, you have two lords mentioned in the Old Testament. You have it at the very beginning. You have let's make us, or make man in our image. So you have the one who became the Lord God, who led the children of Israel out of Egypt, who eventually became Jesus Christ. And you have the one who became the Most High. Now nothing is revealed about the Most High, because that's not revealed until Jesus came to reveal the Father. And we read that. We're going to read it one more time. If the God of the Old Testament was the Father, why then did Jesus have to reveal the Father? Why? If it was that simple, if it was that easy to understand, How come Christ said he came to reveal him? Well, Matthew chapter 11 has the answer. We have referenced it once. I want to notice it again. Matthew chapter 11, verse 25. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and revealed them to little children. As I said, the so-called intellectuals who put these papers together, they don't know anything in terms of understanding who the Father really is and who Jesus Christ is. They certainly know nothing about who Mr. Armstrong was. But God revealed it to little children. That's you and me. We're little children. Babes in Christ. Verse 26 says, yes, Father, that was your gracious will. And he goes on to say, all things have been handed over to me, my Father, because no one understands or knows except you. And you've given me to understand. And I've revealed it to those to whom you would have me reveal it. When you have a false doctrine that the God of the Old Testament was the Father, the next thing you have to do is change the nature of Jesus Christ. Now, we have read scriptures that clearly showed that the God of the Old Testament was the one who became Jesus Christ. Where are men and women, for example, going to see the Most High? Because people have asked that. Not until the resurrection, until New Jerusalem comes to the earth. Then the Father, he's been revealed to us spiritually, and then we'll be able to see him, you know, physically, if you will, or in the spiritual realm. But we're going to be in the resurrection under Jesus Christ, who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, to take over the earth and to clean it up. And what a job we're going to have to do. The biggest thing is going to be teaching, as we've mentioned so many times. That's why we were called. Mr. Armstrong made that very clear. You were called for the definite purpose of being trained to become a teacher. And with the billions that are going to be resurrected, can you imagine the immensity of that task? Nowhere does it ever say that the Father spoke directly to anyone in the New Testament, right? Nowhere does it say in the Old Testament that the Most High spoke to anyone directly, or even in a vision. False teachers say that the Father spoke to Daniel in a vision. Remember that story? I don't have time to turn there. This vision was made known to Daniel by the one who became Jesus Christ under the Father's direction and instructions. He did not do it himself. God the Father did not do it himself. You know, we have looked at enough scriptures to show the Father could not have been the God of the Old Testament. Just could not have been. Let's turn to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. Christ said, you, Father, and I are one. Well, let's read about it in John chapter 17. And beginning at verse 21. He says that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one, that the world may believe that you have sent me. And the glory which thou gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Verse 23. I and them, and you and me, that they may be made perfect, that may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me, as I have loved them, as you have loved me. It all ties together, doesn't it? It all fits together. God working in with Christ, God working with us, Jesus Christ in our hearts and minds. Father, I will that they also, whom you have given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me, You loved me before the foundation of the world. John 17, verse 25. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known you that you have sent me. And I have declared unto them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you love me may be in them, and I in them. All tying it together. Beautiful thoughts from a wonderful God, a wonderful Savior, a tremendous plan and story that we can be a part of. Now, does that, those scriptures there in John, do they somehow show that, that God the Father was the Old Testament ruler and leader, was the God of the Old Testament? No, it does not. Can anyone come to the Father except through Christ? No, they cannot. John chapter 6, verse 44 answers that. We won't turn there, but you know the scripture. And verse 46 says that no one has seen the Father. No one. That makes it very plain and clear. I don't understand what these fellows are trying to, what they're trying to prove and how they're trying to prove it. But what they are doing is they're great deceivers, using baffle-gab to try and make a point. Did those close relationships between the Father and Jesus Christ begin when Christ started his ministry? Is that when they began? No, they were working together all throughout eternity. They were always together. They both agreed when it came to creating the earth, and they both agreed when it came time to creating man. They said, let us make man in our image. And they were, what a wonderful thought as Christ kneeled down and molded the human being, Adam, out of the dust of the ground, out of matter. They are one in spirit, one in thinking, one in direction, but they're two separate personages of the God family. It's not that hard to understand that. Christ came to reveal the Father. The Father never spoke to anyone. He is not seen by anyone. He was not the God who led the children of Israel out of Egypt. Now, obviously, he was a part of it because he was over Christ. So he knew all about it, but he never got involved. Not directly. Talking to Christ, yes. Many people fall for the slander and deception taught by certain false ministers. And brethren, I know of two families that say, we will never again belong to another group. And so I ask this question, is it any wonder that some people do not trust ministers? What a responsibility the ministry have to teach right and proper. Maybe they'll stumble and make mistakes on occasion or can't see it properly because of their vision, you know. But we got to speak the truth, stand for the truth, stand behind Jesus Christ and God the Father, stand behind and stand on the foundation that Mr. Armstrong established. We can't go wrong when we do that. You can't go wrong if you listen to a person like that, who talks that way, who teaches that way. And it's all the more reason for us to stay tied to that trunk, that spiritual tree that Christ showed Mr. Armstrong. He showed him the truth, and Mr. Armstrong taught the truth to us. Twisting and distorting the scriptures is Satan's way of confusing and deceiving and upsetting the unsuspecting. And through those methods, he destroys families. Marriages have been destroyed. And you know, brethren, keep your eyes open. Look over your shoulder on occasion, spiritually speaking, because there will be many, many more deceptions to come before it's all over.